Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur today at the beginning of the new perek, the second perek of Maseches Megillah, and you will notice that, of course, halfway down the page. We now get into laws concerning the reading of the Megillah. Hakore es Megillah l'mafreya lo yotza. One who reads the Megillah from end to beginning, it's backwards, he is not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Megillah reading. Kora al peh, if one reads it by heart. Kora targum, or if one reads it, targum. Now, see, there's a reference here to look at Rashi on Daf Yud Ches Omid Aleph. Rashi says there, Kora Targum B'chol Lashon Zu Ve'ein Tzorach Lomar Zu Katoni. The structure of the Mishnah is this, and I don't have to tell you the following. So, the Mishnah says if you read it Targum, that would mean you read it in Aramaic, or B'chol Lashon. And it, as Rashi says, and it goes without saying, if you read it in some other language, that lo yotza, that you are not in fulfillment. However, if someone is a foreign speaker, so you can read it in a foreign tongue for a foreign speaker. If someone is a non-Hebrew speaker, but he hears the Megillah read in Ashuris, that would mean it's read from a Megillah that's written in the standard Hebrew form, he nevertheless is Yotze, even though he doesn't understand it. Koros Sirugin, umisnamnim Yotze, if one read the Megillah in Sirugin in gaps, means he read some, and then paused, and read, and didn't, in other words, and then read again. He didn't read smoothly. That's Sirugin. Misnamnim is he read off, but dozing. Dozing in the interim, in a misnamnim fashion. So he fulfills, nevertheless, the reading that way. Hoya koisva dorsho magia. If a person is writing a Megillah, it happens to be the 14th of Adar, the date of Purim, he's writing a Megillah, or he's expounding on it, he's teaching it. That's dorsha. And in the course of his darshaning it, he is in effect reading it. Umagia means he is checking it for mistakes. He's checking a Megillah scroll for mistakes, and in checking it, he's reading the words im kivein libo yotza. If he has intent during any one of these three things, that while he's writing the Megillah, he's also reciting the words, or he's teaching he's holding forth on it, and in the course of holding forth on it, he's also reciting the psukim of the Megillah, and he has intention to fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah, or he's checking a Megillah, and in checking it, he's also reciting the words. So if he's kivei libo, if he has intention for fulfilling the mitzvah, yotza, he fulfills it. The imlav, if he doesn't have intention for the mitzvah of Megillah reading, lo yotza, then he is not in fulfillment. Hoisuk suva basam ubesikra uvekumus uvekankantom. If the Megillah is written with any of these types of inks, or al hanior viala diftera, or on papyrus or diftera, another type of material, the Gemara will explain what these things are. Lo yotza, he is not in fulfillment. Ad shetek suva ashuris al hasefer ubedio. Until the Megillah is written in Ashuris, that's the language, using Hebrew letters, the script that we're familiar with, we call this Ksav Ashuris, and on a sefer means on klaf, on acceptable parchment, ubdyo, using that type of ink that we refer to as dyo, as opposed to other liquids that might, in effect, serve as ink, but it's not called dio. Now the Gemara asks about, wants to analyze or find the sources for these halachas, and on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei is the topic heading, Mivneh the structural note which we combine into one, we have a house marking featured, and the house is one of our series markings. So these are Makoro sources, She'ein Yoitzin Bekriyas HaMegillah Mafreya, sources that indicate that one does not fulfill Megillah reading Limafreya, reading it from the end to beginning. Omar Minohani Mili. So from where do we know that Limafreya lo yotza? Omar Rovo, the Omar Kro, the Posuk says in Perik Tes Posuk of Zayin of the Megillah, Kichsavom uchizmanom. Mazmanom Limafreya lo, just like time is not something that is reversed, meaning the 15th of Adar cannot be before the 14th of Adar. So just like in terms of time or dates, it can't be reversed. So afksavam l'mafrelo, so too with regard to that which is written, you can't read from end to beginning. The Gemara asks, midi kriya ksiva hacha, does it say here anything about the reading? Asiya ksiva, Dichtiv lios oisim es shnei hayomim. This pasuk doesn't refer to pasuk chav zayin that we read kichsavuch zmanam. Doesn't refer to the reading. It refers to the fulfillment of the mitzvos of the holiday. That's oisim, the practice of the fulfillment of the holidays. The 2 days are the 14th and the 15th of Adar. But it doesn't say anything about reading. Elo mehacha, the source for not reading backwards. Dichtiv. The pasuk says, pasuk chav ches says, vayomim o'ela nizkorim v'na'asim. Now the word nizkorim has to do with remembered or recounted. That has to do with the reading. Iskish zechira la'asiya. We compare zechira, which we said is a reference to the reading, to the performance. Ma'asiya l'mafreya lo, just like the fulfillment of the holiday, the performance of the holiday cannot be done out of order, and that we explained already. That was in Pasuk of Zion, where Asiya was compared to Zmanom. Af Zechira l'mafreya lo, so too the reciting, the recounting of the miracle through the reading of the Megillah cannot be l'mafreya, cannot be out of order, cannot be from end to beginning. Tana, we are taught in a source, v'chein b'halel, v'chein b'kriyas shma u'betfila. This locha of not doing things backwards, out of order, is applicable to halel, to kriyas shma, and to shmona esrei. And as we go on in the Gemara, you'll see a crown shape that highlights these three additional areas. Halel, kriyas shma, tefila, and on the, as we've noted on the side, ein lo yoytzin bohen l'mafreya. Minolan, from where do we know each one of these? So the Gemara continues, Halel Minolan, Rabo, Omar, and you will note, by the way, we've numbered up to 4 responses to this question. From where do we know what's the source that Halel must be done in order? And Halel, of course, is a reference to the chapters of Tehillim that we read as part of the davening when it comes to a number of our different holidays. So it says in the Halel passage, Rabbo Omar Tichtiv mi Mizrach Hashemesh ad Mavoi. That's a pasuk, of course, from the Halel itself. That means from the east to the west. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. It has an order, and you can't reverse that. And that's the pasuk says, mi Mizrach Hashemesh ad Mavoi Muhulol Shem Hashem, that you will praise. Just like the sun has its path, so too your praise of Hashem is in that order, meaning an order and not backwards. We have now another opinion. Rav Yosef Omar, Ze Hayoim Osa Hashem. The day has an order. It starts from a certain hour and it continues to another hour. It has an order, a specific direction, order, and not out of order, not backwards. Rav Avi Omar, another posuk in the Halel, Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach, and the word Yehi means as it is. As it is, that is how you praise Hashem, not out of order. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok v'Itaymo Rav Acho bar Yankov, another version of the author of this idea is Rav Acho, says Omar Mehocha, Me'ato v'ad Olam, means from now till the end, till the future. So it indicates from a beginning point till an end point. Keep the order, not backwards. Kriya Shema. Now here we have a special marking, a brackets that's very helpful to keep the topic clear. You'll notice a starred note on the side of the Gemara, Sograyim L'Shem Dilug. This bracketed section, and use of course the bracket length indicator, so you'll be going down a few lines down from the top of Amud Beis. These brackets are for L'Shem Dilug, means for skipping purposes. Kidei Lahar Ois Miyad HaMokor, to get immediately to the source, the Ein Koren Kriya Shema L'Mafreya Shehu Noseh Asugya, to get to the source that Kriya Shema is not to be read out of order. After all, that is the topic at hand. B'socha Sograyim Mofiim Halochos Noisofos Hakshuros to Kriya Shema. Within the bracketed section, you'll see a number of additional halachas that are related to Kriya Shema. Chlokes Rebbe B'Chachomim B'Noisim Elu. We'll see how Rebbe and the Chachomim argue over these topics, the topics that are found in the bracketed section. So, being true to our marking scheme, we read the crowned word Kriya Shema, and I'll skip the brackets. You get down to around the sixth line from the top of Omid Beis, for Abona Nami Hoksi V'Hoyu, in the debate between Rebbe and the Chachamim, different words of the Kriya Shema are Darshan, and the Gemara asks, what do the Rabbanon do with the word V'Hoyu? Hahu Miboyale Shelo Yikra L'Mafreya. The Rabbanon learned from that Kriya Shema is to be as it is, V'Hoyu, as it is, and not backwards. Now that's exactly what we were looking for. The source, the Kriya Shema, is to be read in order. So it's learned from V'Hoyu. The Rebbe Shalikur Mafreya Minole. What about Rebbe? Where does he learn that the Kriya Shema is not to be read out of order, but it shouldn't be read backwards? Midvorim Hadvorim. The letter He is added to the word. It says V'Hoyu Hadvorim Ho'ele. The He signifies to Rebbe that they are as they are, not to be read out of order. The Rabbanan Hadvorim Hadvorim Lo Mashmalu. The Rabbanan don't see anything significant in the additional He. Now let's go back over the Gemara. Now that we've seen the basic structure regarding the source for Kriya Shema not to be out of order, you have either the word V'Hoyu that's in the Kriya Shema or the He of the word Hadvorim. Now, as we say, there are other halachas that are discussed concerning Kriya Shema, as we see. Disanya. Kriya Shema Kiksova, Divrei Rebbe, Achachom Elamrim B'chol Lashon. Rebbe says that the Kriya Shema shall be recited as it is. In other words, you read the Kriya Shema in the original Hebrew and not in another language. The Chachamim say it can be read in any language. My time, O the Rebbe. What's the basis of Rebbe? What's his source for saying that it's limited to Hebrew? Omar Kra. Well, the Pasuk says, and we continue at the top of Amud Beis, V'hoyu. It says, V'hoyu hadvorim ha'ele. And the word V'hoyu means, V'havyoson yuhu. They are, it is to be as it is. As is, in Hebrew. For Rabbanon my time, the Rabbanon, what is their basis for saying the Kriya Shema can be in any language? Omar Kro, Shema. Of course, the opening of Kriya Shema is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shema equals B'chol Lashon Shata Shomea. Hear it as you can hear it in any language that you understand. The Rebbe Nami Hoksiv Shema. Well, what about Rebbe? What is he going to do with the word Shema? He said it's limited to Hebrew. Doesn't Shema imply any language that you understand? No. So he says, Hahumi Boyale, he uses the word Shema to teach something else. Hashmea li oznecha ma sha'ato shomea b'ficha. Cause to be heard by your ears that which you enunciate. In other words, according to Rebbe, you must hear the recitation of the Kriya Shema. It's not enough just to look at the words or to move your lips, but you have to hear what you say. For Rabbanon Savri, Keman Domar, HaKriya Shema V'lo Yishmi Ali Ozno, Yotza. The Rabbanon hold that one who reads the Kriya Shema, even if it's inaudible, you still are in fulfillment. So that the word Shema for the Rabbanon is going to mean as they said, b'chol loshon shatashem, in any language. V'rabbono nami hoksi v'hoyu, we saw Rebbe say, v'hoyu teaches me that it shall be read in Hebrew and Hebrew alone. What do the Rabbonin do with that word v'hoyu? After all, they said it can be read in any language. Hahu miboyale shalikra l'mafreya, the Rabbonin need the word v'hoyu to teach me that the Kriyashma shall be read in order and not read backwards. The Rebbe Shiloyikro Lamafreya Minole, Rebbe, where does he learn that point of law that it shall not be read backwards? After all, Rebbe has already used the word Vahayu for it being limited to Hebrew. But what about order? Answer, Midvorim Hadvorim. From the fact that the word in the Kriyat Shema says Vahayu Hadvorim with a hey, and not just the word Dvorim, he sees this point of law, not to be read out of order. V'rabbonon dvorim hadvorim lo mashma lehu. The Rabbonon, on the other hand, they don't see anything significant in the additional letter hey, so they learn shelo yikra l'mafreya from v'hoyu. But as far as our topic is concerned, not reading Kriyat Shema out of order, just like we said by Hallel, that's right, and like we said by the Megillah, each one of these Tanoim, Rebbe and the Rabbanan, agree that it cannot be read out of order. Each one has their own source, though, for that law. Now you notice we have again a bracketed section. On the side of the Gemara, we have a starred note. Sagraim elu einom ledilug. The purpose of these brackets is not for skipping. Elu letachim hadiyun im kol haTorah b'chol loshon orak b'loshon haKodesh. There is a discussion that ensues regarding the rest of the Torah. We discussed up till now Kriyat Shema being read in other languages. What about the opinion of Rebbe and the Rabbanan regarding other Torah readings? Can they be done in any language, or are they limited to Hebrew? We're not going to get involved in the context of Gemara markings to when we speak about the rest of the Torah. That is a discussion in and of itself. There's a Tosfos that deals with this at the top of the page. Suffice it to say that we're simply contrasting Kriyat Shema with regard to other Torah passages that have to be read. Now, on the other margin, we have under our Nosei, Mivneh, Besocha Sograim, we have a topic heading with a structural note that applies to that which is in the brackets. We should note, of course, after the brackets, we go back to the issue of things not to be done out of order, and finally we deal with Tfilah. How do we know that that shall be, its order must be maintained? But before we get to that, we look at this, the Nosei Mivneh heading, the triangle you see featured on the side of the Gemara. We call this a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a discussion. Kol Echod Mehatanoim, each one of the Tanoim that we've seen, Rebbe and the Rabbonon, Ma'em Dosom Legabi Sh'ar HaTorah, what is their position regarding the rest of the Torah, Chutz Mikriyat Shema, besides Kriyat Shema, Im B'chol Loshon Orak B'loshon HaKodesh, or is it can it be done in any language, or is it limited to Hebrew? And when we see the inverted triangle, that will be a rejection of whatever was maintained till that point. We've also used a double underline to highlight the expression Kosava Rebbe or Kosavri Rabbonon, what we think each one's opinion is. And the slash underline will highlight our initial thinking of what their opinion is regarding the rest of the Torah. But before we get into the Gemara itself, let's say orally what the gist of the Gemara is. Once we've established that Rebbe limits Kriyat Shema to Hebrew, and Rebbe has a special teaching for that Kriyat Shema must be done in Hebrew. What does that leave you to think about Rebbe's position about the rest of the Torah? Well, if it must be emphasized that Hebrew, that Kriyat Shema is in Hebrew, that leaves you room to think, well, the rest of the Torah doesn't have to be in Hebrew. Likewise with the Rabbanan. They hold that Kriyat Shema, there's a special teaching that Kriyat Shema can be done in any language. So it leaves you to think that maybe something special about Kriyat Shema, that it can be done in any language, but the rest of the Torah, when a Torah reading passage must be fulfilled, it must be read only in Hebrew. Is all of that true? Can we come to those conclusions? So now let's take a look at the Gemara itself. Lema, can we say, Kosova Rebbe kol haTorah kula b'chol loshon emor, the rest of the Torah, when passages must be read, can be read in any language. If you were to think that the rest of the Torah is also limited to Hebrew, why then when it comes to Kriya Shema do you have to say it must be read in Hebrew? If the opinion of Rebbe is any Torah passage must be done in Hebrew, so Kriya Shema follows suit. Itzdrich. I could tell you that really Rebbe holds the rest of the Torah is also only in Hebrew. The question is, and if that's the case, why by Kriya Shema do we have what I like to call overkill? In other words, if once you've established the rest of the Torah, according to Rebbe, has to be in Hebrew, so wouldn't Kriya Shema follow suit? Why does it have to spell out by Kriya Shema the word v'hoyu? Itzdrich, I have to spell it out. Salkadaita chamina shma kirabonan kirabonan. I might have thought that, well, the word shma appears, and I might have thought that, well, that teaches me like the Rabbonan, that Kriya Shema can be done in any language. As the Rabbonan said above, the Cholosh and Shata Shomea. So, since Kriya Shema has, let's say, as a built-in fault, so you have to undo that. Kosav Rachmona v'hoyu. Therefore, the Torah has to write v'hoyu, that Kriya Shema also, like the rest of the Torah, is limited to Hebrew. So that as far as the opening suggestion here that maybe Rebbe holds the rest of the Torah is in any language, that is not necessarily true. Now, using the same form of logic, Lemo Kosavi Rabbonan, Kol HaTorah, the Loshon HaKodesh Nemra. Let us say that the Rabbonan's opinion is regarding the rest of the Torah that it must be done only in Hebrew. If you were to think that the rest of the Torah can be done in any language, why does the Torah have to write Shema, which the Rabbonan took to mean, in any language? If the rest of the Torah can be done in any language, if the rest of the Torah could be done in any language, so you don't have to tell me about Shema. Therefore, there is room to think that the Rabbanan will hold the rest of the Torah is limited to Hebrew. Hence, it was necessary to teach me by Kriya Shema. It can be done in any language. Not so. It's derich. I will tell you that according to the Rabbanan, the rest of the Torah can also be done in any language. So then you'll ask, so why does the Torah have to tell me specifically by Kriya Shema in any language? Salka daita chamina. I would have thought, v'hoyu kerebi, that the word v'hoyu would indicate, like Rebbe says, that it must be as it is only in Hebrew. Kosef rachmona shma. Therefore, by the Kriya Shema to serve as an antidote to what v'hoyu might have represented, shma makes it very clear to the Rabbanan that it can be done in any language. But that's not to the exclusion of the rest of the Torah. The rest of the Torah also, any passage that must be read, can also be done in any language. Tfilah menolon. From where do we know that tfilah has a specific order? Tfilah is really represents or refers to the Shmona Esrei. The Sanya, you have a source that says Shimon Apakuli, Hisdir Shmoina Esrei Brochos, Lifnei Rav Gamliel, Al HaSeder B'Yavne. Shimon Apakuli set up the 18 benedictions that comprise the Shmoina Esrei, and he did so in the presence of Rav Gamliel, according to a specific order in Yavne. Yavne was the Torah Academy, the Torah Center of that era. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, V'amri lo b'masni sotana. Rabbi Yochanan, some versions have a Tanaic source. Me'av esrim zkenim. There were 120 sages, v'hem kamo neviim, and amongst them there were a number of prophets. Tiknu shmoin esrei brochos al haseder. They established 18 brochos following a specific order. Now on the side of the Gemara we have under our Nosei Mivne heading, Mekoros l'seder habrochos b'shmona esrei. This is a series of sources for the order of the brachas that comprise the Shmona Esrei. Do take note of the fact that we have a long point marking, that we're going to be involved with this discussion about the order of each one of the brachas relative to the next bracha until we get a sizable way down Yud Ches Omet Aleph. So if you skim ahead, you'll notice the long marking. So now, with that in mind, we embark on a discussion concerning the brachos of the Shmona Esrei and their order. Tonu Rabbanan minayin she'omrim avos. From where do we know that we have a bracha that say, features, commemorates the patriarchs, the opening bracha of the Shemone Esrei. Shenemar, Havu, Lashem, Bnei Elim. Now, I want to note over here that the Gemara in Brachas Dav Chav Chesom Medbeis, we have a starred note that indicates that the Yudches Brachas Shel Tefila Shemone Esrei Keneged Yudches Askrosh B'Mizbor Zeh. This chapter of Tehillim has 18 references to the name of the Almighty. So it is with this chapter of Tehillim that the rabbis had in mind that we should establish 18 benedictions. So that this isn't just a random pasuk quote, but it's this source in Tehillim, Perek Chof Tes, that is the basis of having 18 brachas. So in that passage it says, Havu Lashem B'nei Elim. Now, B'nei Elim means the strong ones. The strong ones is a reference to the great ones, the patriarchs. Rashi very briefly says, Hazkiru Lufanov, mention in front of Hashem, es Eile Horetz. Now, this Rashi itself, to me, is a little bit obscure, unless you know, for example, Rashi in Rosh Hashanah, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed, Beis Amud Aleph, where he explains that Eile Horetz are a reference to the Takifin, the strong ones, and that's a reference to the patriarchs. So, the Posuk in Tehillim, which is associated with the Shemone Esrei, is telling us, mention in front of Hashem the Avos, the strong ones. Huminayin Sha'omim Vuros, from where do we know this next bracha? Shenemar Havu Lashem Kavoid Va'oiz. Va'oiz means strength. So that this, of course, is a continuation of the very same psukim that we've started here. Havu Lashem B'nei Elim, Havu Lashem Kavod Va'oiz. Oiz is strength. And that's the bracha, the second bracha of Shemone Esrei, that opens up with the expression Ato Gibor Hashem. Uminayin Sha'imim Kedushos, the third bracha of Shemone Esrei, which we call Kedushos, Hokel HaKadosh. We begin to Ato Kadosh, Vishim HaKadosh. From where do we know that is to be mentioned? Shinema Havul Hashem, Kavoid Shemo, Ishtachavul Hashem, Bahadras Kodesh. Again, a continuation of those psukim. So the first three brachas of the Shemone Esrei and their order are found in this pasuk, with each point mentioned one after the other. Umaro lomar bino achar kedusha. From where do we know that we recite the bracha that refers to bino, chonein hadoas? Bino is understanding. From where do we know that we have a bracha that deals with that? That and it is to follow kedusha, the reference to holiness. Shenemar v'kedishu es kedosh yankiv v'salukei Yisrael yaritzu. So that's in Yeshaya Perek Chof Tes Pasuk Chof Gimel. So you see kedusha is mentioned there, of course, using the markings, the dashed underlining. V'samechle, and in Pasuk Chof Dalet it says v'yadu toye ruach bina. So you have this juxtaposition of psukim, kedusha followed by bina. Umaro lomar tshuva achar bina. And from where do we know that the next benediction, Hashiveinu avinu l'sorasecha v'kovenu avosecha, is recited after the Ato Chonein? Once again, we're referring to the bracha that the Gemara refers to as tshuva, Hashiveinu avinu l'sorasecha v'kovenu malkenu l'avodasecha. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, ulevavoi yavin v'shav v'rofoloi. So you see yavin as bina, and understanding, which wisdom, and then v'shav, return us to your Torah. The Gemara says, well, if this is the basis, ihachi lema refua basra d'tshuva, then in the same pasuk you see refua mentioned right after tshuva. So it says, we said, v'shav v'rofalo. So then it would follow that after the bracha of Hashivenu, you would be saying the bracha of Rifo'enu, which is not the case. So the Gemara says, well, lo salka daitoch, don't suggest that refua should be right after the tshuva bracha, dichtiv, v'yoshoiv el Hashem v'yurchameu v'el elekenu kiyarbe l'sloyach. So in this pasuk, again, using our markings, you have tshuva v'yoshoiv, which is followed by slicha, which in our Shemone Esrei we say slach lono avinu ki chotanu. That is the proper order. After tshuva, slicha. Slicha, of course, means the plea to Hashem to forgive us. Umay chozes desamchis ha'ho smoch ha'ho. But having these two psukim now in front of us, so you've got the Yeshaya Perik Vov Posuk following Tshuva, you have the Rofalo, and now we have the Yeshaya Perik Nunhei Posuk having Slicha following Tshuva. So once again, it's like a little bit confusing. You tell me that we're not to pay attention to the Posuk that has Refua after Tshuva, and yes, to pay attention to the Posuk that has Slicha after Tshuva. What is it that you see fit to rely on this pasuk, the pasuk in Yeshaya Nun Hey, which has slicha following tshuva? Why not go to the pasuk in Yeshaya Vav that has refuah after tshuva? Kosav kro achrino. There's another pasuk that says hasoleach lechol avonechi, harofe lechol tachlu oichi, hagoyel mishachas chayaichi. So in this pasuk, what is the order of things? You've got geula, and first you have slicha, then following slicha you have geula and refua. So slicha has to be before the refua, so that this pasuk will then show us that you can't have refua right after tshuva, because if you put the refuah right after tshuva, you're going to be putting the refuah before the slicha, and that cannot be. You've got to have, as you see in this pasuk, the refuah following the slicha. L'meimra, this then suggests the geula urefuah baser slichahu, that geula and refuah follow slicha. Ah, but v'hoksi v'shova rafalo. But we go back to the original question. Does it not say that after tshuva there is refuah, that refuah follows tshuva, and that it does not follow the slicha? The Gemara answers, "Hahu lav refuah de tachluyim hi, el refuah de slicha hi." The pasuk says that says v'shova rafalo. Just again, this Vishav Varofa, in fact, is not a refuah of tachluim, it's not a refuah from an ailment, el refuah de slichahi. So that don't let Vishav Varofa present a problem to us, a suggestion that refuah, that healing, should follow tshuva. Not so. In fact, the word Vishav Varofa, in that pasuk means. Forgiveness. It means slicha. So that what really comes out is that the pasuk of Vishav Varofa is the same in terms of order as the pasuk of Hasoleach Lechol Avonechi Harofe Lechol Tachluaychi. The refuah referred to is a refuah of slicha, of being healed, not from an ailment, but being healed from sin through God's forgiveness. So just to review the last point, or the last couple of points, we established that tshuva follows bina, and then you have bina, then tshuva. Following tshuva, you have slicha. And as far as the challenge that we raise to that from the pasuk of Vishal Varofa, no, the word Varofa there has nothing to do with healing from ailments. That has to do with healing through healing from having been sinful. Uma ro lomar geula b'shvias. What did they see fit to have the bracha of geula? In other words, after we say slach lono avinu, the next bracha is re'ei v'yonenu v'rivroivenu, baruch ato Hashem go'el Yisrael. That's the bracha of gula, redemption. And it turns out that it's the seventh bracha in the order of the brachas. So you have avos, kfuros, kedushos, that's three, and bina, four, tshuva, five, slicha, six, and gula, seventh. Why is gula in the seventh position? Omar Rava, mitoch shasidim ligoyel b'shvias, from the fact that in the future, the ultimate redemption will be in the seventh year. Shvias is assumed to be a Shemitah year. which is the seventh year of a sabbatical cycle. Therefore, the bracha indicating redemption is in the seventh position. The Gemara asks, "Well, Mar, but hasn't it been taught b'shishis kolos b'shvius milchamos b'motzoi shvius ben David ba?" It has been taught that in terms of the future, when the redemption approaches, in the sixth year of the cycle, there will be voices, sounds. In the seventh year, wars, and the motzoi shvius, the eighth year, the end of the seventh year, is the eighth year. Ben David ba, the Moshiach will appear, indicating that redemption is not in the seventh. The Gemara answers, Milchoma nami aschalta de gulahi. When we speak about those wars in the seventh year, and that is a reference to the beginning of Geula. The wars featured in that Gemara, and it's really from Gemara quoted from Sanhedrin, is a reference to wars that lead up, that culminate in the Geula. Umaro loma refua b'shminas. Why is healing from ailments in the eighth position? Omar Rabbi Acha mitoch shenitna mila b'shminas shetzricha refua. Since bris mila is given over to be performed on the eighth day, emphasis on eighth day of a child's life. So too, and a mila after circumcision. So the child's wound needs to heal. Healing is associated with eighth. Lefikach kavua b'shminas. Therefore, the bracha that is, in which we seek healing from all ailments is in the number eight position. Umaro lomar birchas hashana b'chias. Why is the bracha that we start off? Borei cholenu Hashem lokinas hashana azois. We end off mevorech hashanim. The bracha where we request a bountiful harvest, bountiful income. Why is that positioned in the ninth position? Omer Abaksandri, Kenegid Mafkiye Shorim. This has to do with it's a prayer. When we speak about having plenty, we're also having in mind that people should not jack up the prices and rip off the public. Those are the Mafkiye Shorim. Dechtiv, the Pasuk says, Shvor Zroa Resha. And that break the arm of the wicked. That's a reference to those that attempt to raise prices, ripping off the public. And the David ki omra, David when he recited that psalm, b'chias omra, that is psalm number 9. Umaro lomar kibbutz golius la'achar birchas hashanim. What is the significance of having the bracha that involves the ingathering of the exiles after the bracha of praying for parnasa, for income, for having sufficient bounty of produce? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "V'atem horei Yisrael, an pechem titenu ufer yechem tisu le'ami Yisrael, ki kervu lavoi." So in this pasuk you see a reference to the branches giving forth their fruit, and after that it says ki kervu lavo, they are near to their ingathering. So that after the bountiful fruit is featured, there follows the ingathering. The kevon shenis kapsu golius, with the ingathering of the exiles, that's the bracha we say tka b'shofar gadol. After that, nased din borishoyim. Then judgment is made of the wicked. Judgment is what is the topic of the next bracha, hashiva shofteinu k'vorishona, that bring back our judges like they were originally, capable of judging the wicked. Shenemar. Now we see a pasuk here that deals with this juxtaposition of ideas of the ingathering of the exiles and eventually the judgment of the wicked. It says v'oshiva yodi olayich v'etzrof kabor sigoyach uksiv oshiva shoftayach kavorishona. Now we're making a certain assumption here that the pasuk v'oshiva yodi olayich is a reference to the ingathering of the exiles, and it could be from the fact that it says v'oshiva yodilech, I will return my hand over you, which is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathering us in through his hand, gathering us in from the exiles. And then it says the return of the judgment. So we have ingathering of exiles and then a return of judging. Din min horishayim, and that's, we said, the wickeder judge. That was the bracha of Hashiva Shoftenik of Harishana. Kalu hapoishim v'kulo zeidim imohim. So the sinners, the wicked ones, that's represented by the bracha of Malshinim al tisikva. The Malshinim are those that that squeal on others, that informers to the government against the other Jews. They are, once judgment of the wicked takes place, so then that represents the ending of all of those wicked ones. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, V'shever poishim v'chatoim yachtov v'oizve Hashem yichlu. We should point out that this is from Yeshaya, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chavches. And it's the line just before where we were dealing with the restoration of judgment of the wicked. That was from the same section of Psukim, Yeshaya, Perek Aleph. We read Psukim Chof He and Chof Vav, and now Pasuk Chof Ches, which follows the elimination of the wicked. They will disappear. V'kevon shekolu ha'poishim misremes keren sadikim. And with the elimination of the wicked, that was v'lamalshinim, then there's a raising of the pride, of the honor of the righteous. And that's represented by the brocha, well, that we say, al ha'tzadikim v'al ha'chasidim, etc. Dichtiv, it says, v'chokarni rishoyim agadea, teromamno karnes tzadik, that through the cutting down of the power of the wicked, then there is the raising of the honor, the glory of the righteous. The kolel geirei hatzedek imatzadikim, the converts are included in that bracha, and that's what we say, the al geirei hatzedek the alenu, they're included with the righteous. Shinemar, it says mipnei sevotokum v'hadarta pnei zokein v'samachle v'chi yagur itchem ger. This idea of including the converts together with the righteous is seen by the juxtaposition of these psukim in Vayikra Perek Yutes Pasuk Lamed Beis, refers to rising in order to honor the sages, and following that in Pasuk Lamed Gimel it says it makes reference to the converts. V'chi yagur itchem ger. The Heichon Misromemes Karnom, we just made mention of the tzaddikim, the righteous ones, where is their glory raised? Birushalayim. And that's a reference to the next bracha. After Al HaTzaddikim, we say, Yerushalayim Yerucho Barachamim Toshuv. Shinemar, as the Pasuk says, Sha'alu Shlom Yerushalayim, Yishloyu Al Havoyach. The Havoyach are the righteous ones. So that the Pasuk makes reference to Jerusalem in the context of the righteous. V'kevon shenivnes Yerushalayim bo David. And with the rebuilding of Jerusalem, you have the coming of the Moshiach. Bo David is the pasuk that says, the bracha that says, Es tzemach David avdecha, which follows the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim. Shenemar, now where do we see this relationship between the building of Jerusalem and the coming of the redemption of the horn of David, or the sprouting forth of the Davidic dynasty? So the Gemara continues at the top of Daf Yudches. It says Achar Yoshuvu Bnei Yisrael. That's a reference. That's a hint to the bracha of Yerushalayim Yerucham Rachamim Toshuv Uvikshu Es Hashem Elokehem Ves David Malkom. David Malkom Es Tzemach David. So you see the return to Jerusalem, the rebuilding of Jerusalem, and then the coming of the Redeemer. The Kevon Sheba David Basot Fila. So, and once David arrives, David again is a reference to the Redeemer. There, that's Es Tzemach David. The following bracha will be Shema Kolenu. That's Tefila Shema Kolenu. The bracha where we say V'kabel Bracham Uvrotzon Es Tefila Senu. Shinemar. The pasuk says. Now, this again, we were looking for a relationship between the coming of David and prayer. It says Va'aviyosim El Har Kodshi V'simachtim Beveis Tefila Si. The the Beis HaMikdash, the Marsha points out, is a symbol of the coming of the Moshiach. The Ben David comes before the building of the temple. So you have the Moshiach is hinted to, the Moshiach, or the return of David. David's dynasty returns, and then there's reference to Beveis Tefilah Si, that's Tefilah, the Beis HaMikdash, the place of prayer. So what we have here is the order of the Brochus Es Tzemach David, and then Shema Kolenu. The Kevan Shebos Tefilah, which we said Shema Kolenu, Bos Avoda. When Tefilah comes, then service in the Beis HaMikdash comes. Service in the Beis HaMikdash is what we call Avoda, which is the Brochus of Ritzei. Hashem Elokeinu b'amcho Yisrael v'suim v'hashev es ha'avoida, and restore the work lidvir beisecha to the holy Beis HaMikdash. So where do we see this relationship? Shinemar, the continuation of the pasuk we just read, says Oloisehem v'zivchehem l'ratzoin al mizbechi. The olos and zvochem are different kinds of sacrifices to be offered on the altar. So we've seen a reference to Beis Tefilasi, that was Shema Koleinu, and now Ritzeh in this bracha. As referred to in the continuation of that very same pasuk. The Kevan Shebos Avoda Bos Toida. Once we have Avoda, so we also have Toda, the thanks, the recognition, recognizing all the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thanking Him. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Zoveach Toda Yechabdeneni. What we see here is Zoveach is the offering of sacrifices, then Toda, then thanks. We continue. We have another diamond, but you notice it's slightly different. It's a dashed formed lines forming this diamond. It's because it's going to deal with order, as we've been doing till now, but it doesn't deal with an actual brach of the Shemoneh Esrei, but rather it deals with the Birkas Kohanim, the priestly blessing that we might refer to as, some might refer to as the Duchening, or Nesias Kapayim, that we call Birkas Kohanim. When is that done? That is done right after the bracha of Moedim. We say Atov Shimcha L'Chonel L'Hoidois, and then we have the bracha of the Kehanim, which is followed by the bracha of Shalom. But the Gemara asks here, Uma Ro'u Lomar Birkas Kehanim Achar Hodo, what motivated the sages to insert the Birkas Kehanim after Hoida? Dechtiv. The pasuk says, "Vayisa Aaron es Yodav el Ha'om vayivarchem," and this is, of course, a reference to Aaron raising his hands, what we call Birkas Kohanim. Aaron was the first Kohen Gadol. He raised his hands to bless the people. Vayerid me'asos hachatos ve'oilo v'hashlamim. And we see that he descended from doing sacrifices. So what we're supposed to see over here is we see that the bracha, the Birkas Kohanim, follows the avoda. But the Gemara asks, technically speaking, what are we really focusing on? We're saying that Birkas Kohanim comes after Hoida. Well, Emo Koidem Avoda. According to this pasuk, just looking carefully at this pasuk, it mentions Nesias Kapayim, the priestly blessing, before the doing of sacrifices. So shouldn't Birkas Kohanim be before the bracha of Ritzei? Lo sakadaitach. No, we're not going to allow you to say that. Dichtiv, the pasuk that we just cited said, Vayered me'asos hachatos v'gomer miksiv la'asos. Does it say that he descended from the platform where he was blessing the people? Does it say he descended from there to go to do sacrifices? No, it doesn't say that. It says me'asos ksiv. It says he descended from the platform where he had done sacrifices. So the order is there were first sacrifices and then you'd have the priestly blessing, not like the suggestion that have the priestly blessing before the sacrifices. But still, we still have a question. The Lamer Achar Avoda. Well, according to what you just said, Birkas Kehanim should follow Ritzei, follow the bracha that features Avoda, as the Pasuk just said. Lo salkadaitach. No, we're not going to say Birkas Kohanim right after Ritzei. Rather, we're doing it after Tolda. Remember, we said it's after Moedim. So don't say have the Birkas Kohanim right after Ritzei. Dichtiv Zoveach Tolda. The Pasuk said there's the offering of sacrifices, and then there is the thanks. So you have to have Moedim attached to the Ritzei. Gemara asks, "My choses to samchas ahai smochahai? Why are you relying on this pasuk of zoveach toida when you could have relied on the pasuk just before of vayered me'asos hachatos, where he did the priestly blessing after having done the avoda, and have birchas kohanim right after avoda, and not birchas kohanim after the toida." The Gemara answers, "Mistabra avoda vohido chado milsehi." It's most likely that avoda, the service of Hashem through sacrifices, and the serving of Hashem through acknowledging His wondrous workings, that we thank Hashem in moedim, they're one entity. In fact, saying todah, saying thank you to Hashem, is a form of avoda, form of service. So therefore they're inextricably related. Therefore, when you see the pasuk that says zoveach is avoda and toda, they're inextricably related. Therefore, when the pasuk says before that Aaron descended the platform from having done sacrifices and toda go hand in hand, and then he would bless the people. So you have the order so far is, you have Ritzei, you have Moedim, and right after that you've got the Birkas Kohanim. Now following that, you've got the Broch of Shalom. Ma ro lo ma sim shalom achar Birkas Kohanim. What is it that they saw fit to put the Sim Shalom Brocha right after the priestly blessing? The Gemara says, Dichtiv. In the Pasuk by the Birkas Kohanim it says, V'somu es shmi al b'nei Yisrael, v'ani avorachem. It says that you will place my name on the people of Israel. That's a reference to the priestly blessing. And then right after that it says, and I will bless them. And the blessing of Hashem is peace. Shenamar, Hashem yivorech esamo b'shalom. The Gemara asks, v'chi me'achar de'meo v'yatsrim zikenim u'mehem kamo nevi'im tiknu tfilo ala seder. Once you tell me that the 120 sages and amongst them were prophets, that they set up the order of the brachas, they set up the Shmoneh Esrei, Shimon HaPakuli, my his dear. Now, note, we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This takes you back to Yud Zayin Amud Beis. There we had made reference. You can find a corresponding arrow in the upper half of the page indicating Yud Ches Amud Aleph. There, the source mentioned that Shimon HaPakuli set up the 18 brachas in front of Rabbi Gamliel. Now, that was a period, historically, quite a bit later, after the 120 sages with the prophets amongst them. So once you have the earlier group of sages, the 120 sages, and amongst them prophets, setting up the Shmoneh Esrei, what exactly is left for Shimon HaPakuli to do? The Gemara answers, Shachachum, the Chozar V'yostum. There was an interim period that it had been forgotten, and he restored it to the original order. Mikan V'elech, Osur L'Sapir V'Shvocho Shalakodesh Baruch Hu. Outside of the context of the Shmoneh Esrei, it is forbidden to say praise of the Almighty in the context of a brocha. To establish an additional brocha in praising the Almighty, that is not allowed. The Amar Belozer, my dichtiv, Rabbi Elozer explains that which it says, Mi yamalo gvuras Hashem yashmiel kol tehiloso. That's a posuk, and we explain, Lamino el maleo gvuras Hashem. For whom is it pleasant to say the praises of the Almighty God? Lami sheyochol lahashmiya kol tiloso. He was capable of saying all of the praises. Well, it's impossible for a human being to possibly sing all of the praises of the Almighty. Every second of the world's existence, every atom that's held together, is a function of the Almighty's wondrous workings. How can you possibly sing all of the praises of the Almighty? It's something that's impossible. Therefore, we are restricted. Because, as the pasuk says, if you can do all of the praises, then you can sing. Then, if you can say all of the praises, then you have a right to do so. Since no one can do it, so there is no right to sing, to say the praises of Hashem. But once again, we're saying this in the context of establishing formal benedictions. Omar Rabba Barachanam Rabbi Yochanan Hamasapir Bishvachos Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yoser Midai. Anyone who sings the praise or says the praise of Hashem too much, nekar min ha'olam, he's uprooted from the world. Shenemar hayesupar loy ki adaber imomar ish ki yivula. Essentially, man is the finite, and he's standing in front of the Almighty, the Infinite, and it's not for the finite to attempt to praise the Infinite. In fact, doing so limits, it's a diminution of the Almighty, who is in fact infinite. Dorash Rav Yehuda Ish Kfar Gvuraya V'Amri Lo Ish Kfar Gibor Chayil. It's a different version of where he's from, either Kfar Gvuraya or Kfar Gibor Chayil. Mai Dechtiv L'cho Dumiyoti La. What is the meaning of that posuk? That unto you silence is praise. Sama de kula mashtuka, the ultimate medicine. Sama is a medicine, is the medicine of medicines. The best remedy is mashtuka, silence. Rashi says four lines from the top. Mivchar kol hasamimonim hi ashtika. Shalol harbo istvorim. The best medicine is silence, not to be overly to talk too much. V'hainu l'cha dumiyati la. That's what we mean when we say that silence is unto you praise. Ki also Rav Dimi Omar, the Gemara continues, when Rav Dimi came, he said, Amri b'marava, they say in the land of Israel, Mila b'sela mashtuka b'train. If you're going to pay one coin for a word, you'll pay two coins for silence. Again, a premium placed on silence. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.